You're listening to the Destiny Community Church Podcast.
Today, I'm going to begin a three-week series called Planted. Planted. And it's interesting how this all works out. After riding out the hurricane on Thursday night from my house, I got up early Friday morning and rode through my neighborhood to assess the damage and see who needed help. And then I drove here to the church to see what we were looking at as far as damage or leaks. We have been known, even though this building's a little over 4 years old, we will spring a leak every now and then. And so I was just looking to see what we were looking at. But as I was driving here to the church, I saw limbs, leaves, lots of yard debris just everywhere. If you left the house that morning, you know what I'm talking about. 15th Avenue next to the middle school here in Newberry, it looked like a war zone. You couldn't even drive down that road. It was so bad. I saw large limbs on roadways. It was a rough storm. I remember seeing entire trees blown over. And that's the one thing that always amazes me after a big storm like that, is seeing an uprooted tree. Not like part of the tree. Not like it broke. It's uprooted. And I was looking at pictures that people were posting on social media, and there was this one picture of this large oak tree at a local cemetery that was just pulled up by the roots. I don't know if any of you saw a picture or you saw something similar to that, but the tree was just pulled up by the roots and laid over. And that's fascinating to me, not in a great way, but still fascinating, because some of these trees are 70, even to 100 plus years old. And they have lived through so much. But for some reason, the tree becomes compromised and the root system is no longer viable to sustain the tree upright. And when I see that, it's mesmerizing to me, because I begin to wonder what happened. What happened to this tree? Because for years, this tree would withstand storms. I mean, heavy winds and rain. But for some reason, that tree became vulnerable and eventually uprooted. What was once a strong tree standing tall is reduced to a burn pile. And I can't help but contemplate what went wrong with the root system. Something had to be compromised there. I get the same feeling when people who are in well-established relationships choose to uproot and walk away. I scratch my head wondering what happened. I've had many relationships in my life and in this role as a pastor to where I've watched as people who were once so plugged in and such a vital part of our church and our church family, to where something just causes them to uproot and to walk away. And I understand that in some relationships, and this could be pretty widespread when I talk about this, but in some relationships, some situations are unavoidable because maybe in some way, shape, or form they're abusive. And I get that. There's no choice but to walk away. And those are the exceptions. They're not the rule. So that's not the instances I'm talking about. What I'm talking about are the people who have long-lasting, long-standing, invested in relationships that just decide to uproot and walk away. And I see it in friendships. I see it in marriages. And I certainly see it in churches, where people who were just apart for so long, for some reason, decide they no longer want to be apart, and years go by, and you scratch your head wondering what happened. Like the old established trees, somehow the root system of their life is compromised, and relationships are uprooted, leaving behind catastrophic damage in the aftermath. And it seems like sometimes no one seems to care. That there are people that are just ripped out of your life. After 27 years of full-time ministry, I've watched this become the downfall of way too many believers. They were once a major part of a particular group of believers, but over time they became disconnected and they began to hang out on the fringes until they eventually become non-existent. And you wonder, where did they go? What happened? Some in danger of this right now might be listening. Maybe that's you, or maybe you're watching online. And I know what this looks like. There's a million different scenarios, but maybe this is one of them. Maybe you had a personality conflict with a fellow believer, and you just determined it was better to distance yourself. And you distanced yourself from that believer, and then you distanced yourself from other believers, and soon you find yourself on the fringe, and it seems like you're all alone, so it just makes that step even easier to walk away. You disagree with a decision that is made by leadership, so what do? You disconnect. Or maybe you just simply allow life to get so busy that something has to give. Your schedule is so full, you and your spouse and your kids. I mean, you've got your children going in a million different directions. And so you decide that something has to give. And so you evaluate it and you determine that the easiest thing to give up is your involvement with other believers. And that's the area that begins to suffer. And I understand you don't necessarily process it that way. You don't necessarily see it that way. But when we fail to prioritize our connection to other believers, church, we are basically saying that we can live outside of the body of Christ. Well, amen. You got the hurricane blues this morning, don't you? When we determine that we don't need to be connected with other believers, we are basically saying we can live outside of the body of Christ. Upon salvation, we are meant to live inside the body of Christ. This is what God has called us to. 1 Corinthians 12 and 12 says the human body has many parts, but the many parts make up one whole body. So it is with the body of Christ. Romans 12 and 5 says, so it is with Christ's body. We are many parts of one body, and we all belong to each other. 1 Corinthians 12 and 20, as it is, there are many parts, yet one body. Whether you like it or not, when you said yes to Jesus and you said, I want my sins forgiven and I want to know that I have eternal life, when you made that declaration with your life, you became a part. You were adopted into the greatest family ever known. You became part of the body of Christ. This is our calling. This is who we are, and we cannot neglect that. There you are. Good morning, church. Glad you showed up. Jesus has put us together in the body of Christ for a purpose. We need each other. We need each other. We're just better together, and God knew it. God knew we would be better together. So why wouldn't the enemy try and tear us apart? Why wouldn't he try and single us out and isolate us from the body of Christ? And he does it in so many different ways. He'll use a fence to get us out on the fringe of the fold, and before you know it, you'll just completely walk away from it. The enemy knows that we are better together and that God has put us in this thing together for a purpose. And the goal of becoming mature believers is to grow deep roots in the body of Christ. Planted. Deep roots within the body of Christ. It's when the root system becomes vulnerable that we are in danger of becoming uprooted. And don't dismiss this as some off-the-wall analogy. The scriptures are full of analogies and metaphors. I want to read this morning from Psalm 92. Psalm 92, verses 12 through 15. And what's interesting about this psalm is I just dug a little deep to find out really what this psalm was about. Was that this is referred to as a psalm for Sabbath. This was a psalm that was dedicated for Sabbath. In other words, this was a psalm for the day that those that put their faith in God would gather together and worship. It was a psalm for Sabbath. And so as we read this, Psalm 92, verses 12 through 15, I want you to think about the background of this, written for Sabbath worship, think about it as we read through these words. Psalm 92 and verse 12. The psalmist says, the righteous flourish like the palm tree and grow like a cedar in Lebanon. They are planted in the house of the Lord. They flourish in the courts of our God. They still bear fruit in old age. All of our senior adults in the room should have said amen right there. They still bear fruit in old age. Amen? They are ever full of sap and green to declare that the Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him. Just to be clear, church, the goal, according to this passage, the goal is to flourish like a palm tree and grow like a cedar in Lebanon. That is the goal of the believer, to flourish like a palm tree and grow like a cedar in Lebanon. It does not say that everyone will flourish and grow. It does not say that most people will flourish and grow. It says very specifically that the righteous will flourish and grow. How many of you want to be counted in that number? You want to be in the righteous, amen? When I stand before God, I want him to look at me and count me as righteous. And I know that's not for my own doing. My righteousness is as filthy rags. But I know that I've got an advocate in Jesus Christ who will stand there with me. And I know that it's all because of him. But somehow, some way along the way, I want my life to reflect his. So I want to make some changes. I want to get some things right in my own life so that I can better represent the kingdom of God. Amen? I want to be one of those that's called the righteous so that I can flourish and grow. Now, the palm tree that's described in Psalm 92 is most likely a date palm, which is common in the Middle East. When we were in the Middle East, when we were in Israel, we saw many date palms as you go around Israel. And what you have to understand about date palms is that date palms are slow growing and they usually don't bear much fruit immediately. Patience is needed. It takes time for them to grow tall. It takes time for them to reach maturity. And when first planted, the palm needs some assistance. And need support. Maybe you've seen palm trees that are newly planted. And you'll see boards that are attached to the palm tree, angled out to help keep the palm tree upright, to support it. It usually, they need that establishment, but so that when the winds come, they can still stay upright because the roots have yet to be established. And that's why you see those boards. But over time, the roots begin to grow down, begin to grow deeper. It takes time for them to produce fruit, usually 5 to 8 years, but it will produce up to 22 pounds of fruit in its first crop alone, all from just one single tree. First crop, 22 pounds. Its fruit production rapidly increases each year, and by the time that date palm is 30 years old, it can produce upwards of 200 pounds of fruit in a single crop. 200 pounds. Now, church, the same can be said of a new believer. We shouldn't expect an abundance of fruit from a new believer at first. That's not what happens. It's okay. They're learning. They don't even know what the fruit of a believer should look like yet. They need someone to take them by the hand and to show them. That's why discipleship, that's why mentorship is so important. I've said this many times. We need people that are under us in the Lord, looking up to us. We need people who are equal with us in the Lord, and we need people that we look up to. Those are the three relationships you have to have in life. People look up to you, people you look to, and people you look up to. If you don't have those three relationships, you're struggling in your discipleship. I promise you, you've got to have those three relationships. And so we need mature men and women of God mentoring new believers, teaching them what the fruit of a believer looks like, holding them upright, and helping them establish their root system. Now, really quick, I want to give you three key attributes of the palm that we have to be aware of. The first one is this. Palm trees need regular pruning in order to stay fruitful and beautiful. They need regular pruning. As the palm tree grows taller, new palms sprout from the top center, the lower branches die off, and if not pruned properly, there is no space for the fruit to grow. Besides that, sunlight can't get in to help nourish that fruit. The righteous recognize that God is the gardener and that he will prune his people in order for them to bear fruit. I'm not going to dive deep into that this morning because that's going to come up in another installment of this series. But understand, part of the process is the pruning. The second thing that I wanted to point out to you is this. Palm trees are flexible and resilient. Palm trees are flexible and resilient. We see it every time we watch hurricane coverage on the Weather Channel. Maybe you saw it this week. You watch as the reporters lean into the wind to stand upright. I'm convinced some of them are just being a little overdramatic at times. Am I the only one? Okay. All right. But I watched this one reporter this week. Man, I'm telling you, that guy was having a hard time standing up. He was in Perry, and I was just like, man, this guy's an idiot. But you watch as they lean into that wind. They lean into it so that they can stand upright. And you'll notice when they start bailing out on it, because when you start seeing sheet metal and things fly by them, that's when you know it's getting real, and then you're going to lose power soon. So that's what happens, you know. But the reporters lean into the wind, trying to avoid the debris. But the palm trees in the background, they lean with the wind. They're leaning with the wind, and their branches, if you watch, their branches kind of fold up like that umbrella does in the wind. You know that frustrating moment when it's supposed to be covering you, but it turns inside out? Watch the palm trees. They do the same thing. They're leaning with the wind, and their branches fold up like that umbrella in the wind. Palm trees minimize damage by leaning with the wind. They are resilient that way. The more mature Christians become, when they flourish like palm trees, they're resilient. A little storm is not going to take them out. They are grounded in the family of God. Oh, I'm looking around this room right now. There's some people in this room that you've weathered some storms. You've been through it. And you still say, I want to be counted as faithful. I want to be counted as righteous. I want to be a part of God's kingdom. We have this saying on mission trips here at DCC. It's kind of our mantra, if you will. It's called be flexible. Be flexible. Anybody ever been on a mission trip with DCC and you've learned that phrase? You know what it means? Because on a mission trip, anything and everything will and will most likely happen. It can and will most likely happen. It can. I mean, from lost luggage, just you name it. Get there and you don't have the tools that you need. It's just not easy. You just can't run down to the hardware store like you can here. It's just not easy. And so if it can go wrong, Murphy's Law certainly applies on the mission field. If it can go wrong, it will. But when you go into it with the mindset of be flexible, then nothing will catch you off guard. And we just drive that into our mission team members. They hear it almost every training that as they lead up to the trip. We got to be flexible. You can ask them, you know, what's the number one rule? Be flexible. What an amazing sign of maturity for the Christian when you refuse to wear the robe of church hurt, when you refuse to wear the robe of offense, when you refuse to find your identity in being a victim. It's then and only then that you will find yourself standing righteous like a palm. And finally, the third thing is this. In order for the palm tree to flourish, it has to have the right environment. It has to have the right environment. There's a reason why you see palm trees in Florida and none in Alaska. It's not the right environment for them to grow. And you could plant a palm tree in Alaska, but it's not going to last. Palms need warmth. They need sunshine year-round in order for them to survive and thrive. And the right environment is essential to bearing fruit. So what does the right environment look like for the righteous to thrive in? Well, our text told us in Psalm 92 and 13, it says, the righteous, they are planted in the house of the Lord. They flourish in the courts of our God. Moms, dads, you better listen to me. You better make sure that your children are planted in the house of the Lord. You better make sure that this is the priority in life, because there's a lot of great things out there. There's a lot of wonderful community groups out there. And listen, sports teams and clubs and all of that, I'm not against any of it. There's some wonderful community, but you better make sure that they are founded and grounded in the house of the Lord, because this is where you want them running to when life gets tough, when life gets hard. This is where the righteous flourish. They flourish in the courts of our God. The righteous are found planted in the house of the Lord. You see, the goal is to be a part of the faith forest. That's what we are. We're a faith forest because trees grow best in families. The pine tree, the palm tree, the oak tree, the cypress tree, the cedar tree. The list goes on and on. They grow better together. And in a forest, trees live side by side. They share the same soil. Their roots will intertwine, creating stability so that they can weather the storms better together. I recently read an article about this fascinating find in Utah in Fish Lake National Forest, and it's called Pando. They call it Pando. Here's a picture of it here. Those yellowish-colored trees there are called Pando. Just leave that picture up just for a moment. Pando is technically the world's largest tree. Every tree of the quaking aspen is genetically identical and connected by a single root system. Technically, that's all one tree. Makes it one of the largest and oldest living organisms on the planet. It consists of an estimated 47,000 stems that appear to be individual trees but are connected by that root system that spans over 108 acres. It was first recognized by researchers in the 1970s, and they named it Pando, which is a Latin word which means I spread, which describes its extensive root system that spread from one single seed. I spread, Pando. It started with one. Well, church, this whole thing started with one. And his name was I Am. I Am. And I Am spread and became one of us. It says in John 1:1, it tells us, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. You keep reading through John 1, and it says that he became one of us. So it started with one, and then I Am spread, and he became one of us, and then he invited us to become one in him. Ephesians 4:16 says, from him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. Well, part of our work is staying connected with one another. We can't be out there on our own. No man is an island. We have to be together in the kingdom of God. You can't be a part of the body of Christ and not be connected with other believers. This is our mandate. This is why he put us together, because church, we are better together. And don't let the enemy convince you otherwise. Don't let him mess with you. If you're in a tough season, stay planted. Stay planted. If you don't get along with another believer right now, it's okay. He's given us a whole formula in Matthew to work this thing out. You go to them. You talk with them one-on-one. If that doesn't work, you take somebody with you. If that doesn't work, then you take it to the church. We can work through these things together. Don't let the enemy tell you otherwise. He wants you isolated. He wants you out of the body of Christ. Stay faithful. Stay in your church. Stay in your friendships. Stay in your small group. Because God honors those that stay and press on despite life's challenges. Jesus told us offenses will come. They're going to come. It's how mature are you? How deep is your root system? Can you work it out? Can you go through it? Can you weather the storm? Because I promise you, we're better together in this thing. Don't quit. Stay planted. Look at somebody and tell them, say, stay planted. There was a woodsman that had a favorite tree, and it stood proud and tall by the water, and every afternoon he'd get tired of working in the woods, and he'd go lay down underneath that shade tree, his back against the trunk of that tree. It was just the perfect place for him to rest after a long work day, and day after day he would just lean happily against that trunk on that tree, and he'd eat his lunch there. At the end of the day, he would just catch a little cat nap there. It was just a great little shade away from the hot sun. But one day, something else he was working on in the forest upset him. It wasn't even related to that tree. And the woodsman furiously started chopping away at that sheltering tree. And he thought to himself, oh, this is an old, tough tree. It can handle it. But after a few strikes, he realized that what he was doing and it was actually hurting the tree, and so he stopped. Time went by, and the tree continued to grow and slowly heal from those marks, but it did leave behind some scars. Until one day, in another fit of rage, the woodsman began axing away again at the tree, just started chopping away at it. Again, he stopped and he repented, but the cycle just continued over the years. He couldn't get control of his anger, and he was always taking it out on that tree. Until one day, when that tree was all alone, and the poor tree could no longer bear the heavy weight of its branches, and its wounds were so deep it could not recover, it fell and no longer offered its shade for the woodsman. When the woodsman came and saw the tree laying down, he was more furious than ever. And he thought to himself, who could have done this to my favorite tree? Suddenly, he looked up and down the trunk of the tree that was laying on the ground and the marks on there and all the scars and all the wounds that were given by him. The woodsman wept, for what he had done could not be undone. Church, don't chop away at the forest that God has planted you in. We're better together. And the enemy hates you being a part of it. We're called to be in communion with each other. We're called to be in community. It's our middle name. Don't forget it. God named us Destiny Community Church for a reason. We're better when we're in community. And I have to believe that some of you right now, the enemy is trying his best to isolate you, to get you to wear that spirit of offense that will almost justify you being on the fringe of the fold. Well, it's there where the wolf will pick you off if you're not careful. The enemy is out to steal, kill, and destroy. And I rebuke that right now in the name of Jesus.
Thanks for listening to the Destiny Community Church podcast. To learn more about DCC, including our service times and location, visit us at destinycommunitychurch.org.